This is Twit.
I was reading whatever version of The New Yorker I'm on, which is way late, but they did a whole thing on...
The guilt machine, The New Yorker. It just piles up guilt.
That's why you got to get texture, right? So you can... It won't pile. It just
they had a... It's a scam, S-K-A-M, Scam Austin. They did a big story on it. And it was a Norwegian television show for teens made by like the Norwegian Club of Prostitutes. And it looked so fascinating.
I went to a conference. God, I go to so many conferences. Where was it? I went to a conference where I followed her on stage, the creator of Scam.
Julie Adlin.
You know what's funny? We've seen this before. This was Lonely Kid 24. What was it?
Oh, no. This is different because it is very similar, but it is...
It is actually scripted.
There was even a book. Scripted. Remember the books of the love letters?
Lonely Girl. Yeah, Lonely Girl 15 or 16. Lonely Girl 15. Lonely Girl 15.
We saw a lot of attempts to create episodic content. That
this
looked
has been
like it was
wildly
social.
Popular. Where? Which darn conference was it?
Norwegian? Oh, I thought you were which country.
So is she? Is it just on Facebook? Where is it?
No. So this is what's really exciting. So let's give people context. So Lonely Girl was 2006 to 2008. This pretended to be a vlog back when vlogs were a YouTube diary of a teenager.
It's a very early YouTube. Thing.
Super early. Now, this is actually a scripted television show that they create little 1 to 8 minute snippets. They post them on Facebook Watch. It's part of the Facebook Watch program, which is Facebook's TV effort. And they appear in people's timelines like they're like your friends, you know, and these drama is happening at a Austin high school. But then the characters all have Instagram and Twitter profiles, and they go back like years. So you can actually like cyber stalk these people and find out like, oh, they used to be friends, but now they're not. And so it's really, and they film the script in response to audience like participation. So it's a very new way of
consume it is by going to different media.
It just pops up in your Facebook feed. And then it gets better if you take the action as a user and go find out information about people.
Right.
So if you're curious, you go like look up the characters on Instagram.
So you'd have to follow Scam on Facebook and Instagram because you'd get messages in both places.
Yes.
The New Yorker writes, as with all internet products, once you establish a connection to Scam, it's very hard to sever it. Facebook and Instagram send viewers constant reminders to log back in and stay up to date. Abby Taffy just posted a video. Scam Austin just posted a new episode on Facebook Watch. Of course, notifications, right?
I know where I saw her. F8.
Yes, because
this is all Facebook Watch.
Yeah. Bingo, right. So they interviewed her.
I can understand why a creator would be very interested in this as a new way of creating content.
Absolutely. It's a different relationship with the people formerly known as the audience.
But
right.
I wonder, it's a lot of work for the audience.
Oh my gosh. But this is the goal of this show was to appeal to teen girls. And that's what happened in Norway.
Was it a success?
Huge success.
Oh, huge.
Like 98% of.
This is a country where a train traveling for 8 hours with a camera on top is also a success. So it's cold there. But let's just make this clear. But we love Norway. But
what was the stat that you're about to give us?
I think it was like 98% of the population, the teen population, had heard of it.
Huh.
And I mean, just ridiculous. I don't know how many watched it or what.
Well, get ready because the creator of American Idol, Simon Fuller, has bought the English language rights.
So that's what we were talking about.
It's
Scam Austin is the version that we're talking about.
That's
this
his.
Story. That's on
so it's Simon
Live.
Fuller doing this.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, it is. Oh.
Another creator who is, you know, I mean, he was one of the pioneers of reality-based TV.
But this is how my daughter watches. This is how my daughter entertains herself. She watches tiny little snippets on YouTube, but then she also has, we'll call them characters that she follows. And she is 11, going on 12, but she follows them for their videos on YouTube, and then she'll go find them on Instagram and find them other places. And
it's not aimed at anybody older than that. I mean, it's really aimed at the high school age or earlier. You know, in fact, 17 magazine was never aimed at 17-year-olds. It was aimed at 12-year-olds who were figuring out how to be
a 17-year-old. Well, this is actually aimed at older students because there's like sexual content and stuff like that. Not like crazy pornography stuff, but my 12-year-old would be a little...
Too old for her, maybe.
Too young for... Or she's too young for it. Yes, yeah. It is too old for her.
Yeah. Actually, the New Yorker article also mentions Lonely Girl 15.
Of course they do.
And remember Big Brother, the house where roommates were conspiring? That was an early attempt to do this. In fact,
It's still big in Europe.
The treatment I gave NBC when we created the site on MSNBC was that it was a big... This was before Big Brother. It was a... Because this was in 1992. It was a big Victorian where web developers lived, loved, and fought. And they created a website, which ended up being the TV show at the end of the day. But you could tune in throughout the day on the web. I wish NBC had bought this. I'd be a rich man by now. You could tune in different times on the web, see what different people were doing, who was fighting with whom. This was 1992, I thought of this. You could listen to their playlists. If you had, they were listening to music like Kevin Rose. He had a certain style of music. You would want to listen to his music. We pitched this. NBC loved the pitch, but they never made the show, unfortunately.
Oh, wow. That's a big deal.
Yeah. I wish they'd gone for it. It's with 95-page treatment. I should find it. But that's what the site it became, but they didn't want to do all the, and it was probably too early for the web to do all of that stuff.
All the tech stuff.
Well, I just put up,
The site launched in 94. So the web really wasn't widespread enough by then. Now is the time though. Boy.
But yeah. So something like this, now thinking about the IGTV announcement in context with like reading about that and thinking about how my daughter watches television, it feels like we always talk about it undergoing a shift, but that's an interesting way to think about how that shift, what the end product might look like, I guess. Yeah. So now I'm like,
Yeah.
So the Austin
interview with the creator in the chat on the rundown.
The Norwegian creator.
And she's very kind of Norwegian stern. It's very interesting. But you can fast forward through and get some sense of
Well, the difference how they is the version she made was public television.
Yes.
So it was it was a healthy, you know, this was
It wasn't
teach.
Healthy.
Well, in the long run it was healthy, right?
Well, it was Norwegian healthy. I think that's an important distinction.
Well, let me read what the New Yorker says. True to its roots in public television, Scam attempts to educate its audience, and its primary theme that is, if you keep trying, things will come out all right in the end. For instance, in the Norwegian version, the girl who is slut-shamed for kissing someone else's boyfriend faces down her tormentors. A young man who attempts to suppress his homosexuality winds up accepting himself. But there is apparently debate about what's going to happen in Scam Austin. So Scam Austin has not started yet, or has started a little bit?
No, they've already started.
Okay. So it's not too late to follow it, though, if you can
totally follow it.
Because I want to know how to behave in high school.
You're going to feel like a real man.
I don't think you do.
There's some question, though, whether this will be as public, you know, educational as it was.
All stories are kind of like that. I mean, think about it. Like,
yeah, they all.
You
have
always.
That kind
I mean,
of ending.
That's the point of a story, right?
Right. The character learns, and there's.
Oh, and Jeff offered us a clip from Scam Austin.
We're watching it right now. If anybody would be, this is the interview that you were talking about, Jeff. So apparently, there's a sweaty locker room activity with young boys and bottles of water. Oh boy, this is aimed at a teenage girl, right? Oh, and he's the gay kid, I betcha. And he's a little.
It's Norway.
It's Norway, my friends. Wow, this is a little hot. Okay.
Leo's losing his breath.
It's
here.
Quite sexy.
I can't handle that.
The audience is watching. I don't know if we can air this.
They're all clothed.
They're in tidy whiteies. It's somebody just threw milk against the wall. This is a Norwegian metaphor. And God, he just got hit.
Yeah, I think teenagers know exactly what this is, and they would appreciate being in the know.
Yeah, so this is suggestive without actually being pornographic. And, so I doubt the American one will be like this, but who knows, right? And then did Facebook work with this Norwegian producer and company?
I know that Fiji Simo interviewed her on stage, and they obviously love that they're doing this.
Of course.
They helped in some way. I don't think they paid him for it or anything. I mean, I could be wrong about that. I don't know. Maybe they did.
Here's the watch. Here's the creator. This is at Mediamorphosis.
First and foremost, I don't know how many of you know about the show, so we will start from the beginning.
Yeah. So Scum is a drama series that runs daily online through this webpage. And it's
so it starts, okay, on this one, it starts at a web page, not on Facebook Watch.
Ah, so Facebook managed to entice them in, okay.
Well, maybe they were using Facebook as a platform. Yeah, this is in a new era, isn't it? That's very interesting.
It is. It's something created for the medium rather than just trying to repurpose old-time TV.
Yeah, and if you want to follow it in the U.S., you have to go to the Facebook page for Scum Austin, which is SKAM.
Norwegian for shame.
Oh, my God, shame.
Ding.
So if I follow it now, I'm going to get a lot of stuff. By the way, here's a bunch of other shows that are also on Facebook Watch. Man, I feel like, you know what? Twit is now officially old-fashioned.
Old fart.
It is. It's old-fashioned compared
to this.
We're
the cathode ray tube.
Yeah. Boy, that was way too fast. For crying out loud, it's only 13 years old. It's a teenager still. Oh, you want to watch we can catch up on full episodes of Scam Austin. There's been 8 weeks already.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Let's just watch a little bit. I hope we get the locker room. What's the American version? Mature content. This video may include profanity.
Facebook Watch prevents. I bet they did pay.
This need to perform all the time.
12.8 million views of this premiere episode.
Like today, I woke up at 5 to get ready for.
So then, wait a minute. Now I got to tell you, 12.8 million views is network sized programming, not network hit, but network
size. Network size.
And given
cable size, certainly
bigger than most cable.
Bigger, yeah.
And given that it's got legs, that, you know, it's not like a TV show that airs once. Now, I have to point out that that's the first episode. Next episode, 4.3 million, then 3.8 million, then 1.4 million. It dipped under a million on week 5, went back to 1.4 on 6, under a million week 7, and then 1.2 on week 8. So that's a little bit more in line with what I expect for a web series, you know, roughly a million.
Teenagers at that.
But the aggregate views might be higher because you've also got the Instagram part of it, right? There's more, right? There's some on Instagram, right?
Yes. You can follow the characters on Instagram and see their interactions.
Is there any advertising?
The other characters. I don't know.
I don't see any.
I don't know.
This would be a perfect thing for the advertising to be not overt interstitial ads.
It's my hometown, you guys.
But paid, you recognize Spanky's graffiti there? Started April 24th. New drops daily. Oh, that was just a tease. Sorry.
So it's daily.
Daily. That's a lot of work.
But they break it up into, they're not half hour episodes. They're like 1 minute.
Let's see what's going on in week 8. So, but what I was saying is that the ads could be product placement. In fact, product placement probably work really well in this. If she's wearing like a sweater that's really cute.
Yeah.
If you really think that I look at you.
Or you look great in that makeup. What is it?
Start behaving like a human being. Quit walking around here like a cliche.
It was Megan.
Oh, so
the challenge is going to be getting great writing and great storytelling in this, right? Because.
Well, but they're TV people. They got the people who did the Norwegian one. I don't think that's. I think the challenge is. We don't know the challenge because it's a whole new format, so we got to see how people interact with it.